You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
BC Hydro has applied to the BC Utilities Commission to significantly raise the rate it charges to residential customers. Hydro is asking for increases of almost 10% per year for the next 3 years. It says it needs the money to cover costs and renew its infrastructure. To find out what's behind this request and BC Hydro's increased costs, we've contacted John Calvert. He's associate professor in the health sciences faculty at SFU and teaches public policy there. He is also the author of Liquid Gold, Energy Privatization in BC. John Calvert joins me on the phone this morning. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Why have BC Hydro's costs gone up to such an extent?
Well, there are a variety of reasons and not just one, but I would argue that in a sense the chickens are starting to come home to roost in terms of the way in which the provincial government has been managing our energy policy and particularly managing BC Hydro. Much of this actually goes back to 2002, 2003, when the government introduced its energy plan, and it made major changes in the way in which BC Hydro was able to acquire new energy, and overall in terms of its functioning. In 2003, there was a big outsourcing to a firm Accenture, which was a component of the government's overall move towards privatizing more of our energy sector. And then in the 2002 energy plan, it introduced a policy in which BC Hydro was basically told it couldn't build anything new. The only thing it might be able to do would be to refurbish some of the turbines and existing dams and a few other small sort of upgrades to its existing system. And then there was way down the road the whole idea of Site C, if that was going to go forward or not. But it also said that all the new energy that BC Hydro would need in the future would have to come from private power developers located within the province. And that's triggered a kind of gold rush of private developers, first staking out claims on rivers and streams all over the province and acquiring the water licenses or the applications for the licenses. I think there's something like well over 800 of those licenses or applications now in the mix, and also wind farm tenures all over the province. And so by signaling to the private sector that BC Hydro was going to be buying more and more private energy, forcing it to do so, in fact, and also essentially giving away the crown resources at the same time, because what we're getting either for the wind farm tenure locations or for the run-of-the-river locations is absolutely minimal in terms of revenue back to the public. And so the government is essentially saying BC is open for business here, and BC Hydro is going to be a captive market to the private sector, and Hydro is going to be directed to buy more and more private energy over time. And so that's what they did. And the book that I did, which is now about 3.5 years old, looked at the consequence of that in part on the 2006 call for new energy, in which a total of 15.6 gigawatt hours of energy was being going to be purchased by private power developers as a result of a whole slew, I think, as I recall, about 33 or 34 contracts. And the price of this energy that's being purchased by BC Hydro under direction from the government is extremely high. At that point, it was about $87 a megawatt hour at plant gate, which is 8.7 cents a kilowatt hour in the language that most of us as customers know. And since then, there have been new energy calls for more private power at even higher prices. We're paying someplace in between $100 and $120 a megawatt hour for some of the new energy we're getting.
Let me make a little bit of sense of those numbers. So for that price for a kilowatt hour, how does that compare to what we've been paying, say, in the last several years?
Well, we're paying, there's a stepped rate system, so it's slightly more complicated, but we're paying, let's say, about 7.5 cents a kilowatt hour for our delivered domestic energy, residential, right? So if you're paying, and that includes all these distribution costs and billing costs and so on, so if you're paying 10 cents a kilowatt hour just for the energy, the new energy that's coming in. Obviously, when you add the distribution costs and the billing costs and so on, you're looking at considerably more than 10 cents a kilowatt hour. You're looking at maybe 14, 15 cents a kilowatt hour for that new energy that's coming into the system. And so we're seeing, because of the high cost of some of the new energy and some of the other decisions that Hydro has also made, that ratepayers are going to be facing major cost increases, not just the 3 years that have been identified, that is roughly the 30% over those 3 years, but building on that into the future as more and more private contracts begin to deliver their power, and as other aspects of the system are reconfigured to accommodate the greater role of the private sector.
Why has it taken 5 years for the effects of those contracts to be felt by consumers?
Good question. Well, the issue there is that it takes quite a number of years to actually build a power project. You obviously have engineering studies, and then you've got to go through the whole environmental assessment process, and then you have to actually do the construction itself. So contracts that Hydro signed way back in 2006 are only now really beginning to start impacting the price of electricity that we're paying. And the thing that's really fundamental about all of this is that although BC ratepayers are going to be paying more and more for electricity, the new energy that's being acquired by BC Hydro through these private contracts means that down the road Hydro will never own any of these new generating facilities. And that's a complete contrast to the past. I mean, the reason we have relatively affordable electricity in British Columbia is because W.A.C. Bennett built the dams back in the 60s and 70s, and the last one completed in 84, and we own the electricity generation, and it's very cheap. But we're spending about $400 million to generate about 90%, not quite 90% of the electricity we use. And we're spending, for another 10%, about $800 million from purchases from private power developers and from Alcan and so on. And so the idea that we should move from being owners to renters, which is essentially the government's policy, is one that I think is very, very poor public policy. We had a good model that worked before. It made sense for BC Hydro to acquire and own and build whatever we needed, and we can argue about how much we do need now, which is another set of considerations, but the basic issue of ownership is fundamental here. And part of, I think, the government's privatization strategy is to try and have more and more ownership move into the private sector, and we're effectively paying for all this through the contracts, because the contracts with the private developers normally go on for 25 or 30 years. They're indexed to partially to inflation. And it's on the basis of these contracts with BC Hydro that the developers are able then to borrow money, borrow the capital to build the projects. And they do that, and they have a cash flow guarantee from BC Hydro, so they know they're going to cover their costs over the 25 years or whatever. At the end of the period, they own everything outright. We own nothing, but in effect, we've paid for it all.
Well, it sounds like it's a pretty good deal for the private developers. Now, BC Hydro is saying that the costs are for infrastructure, so what's involved there?
Yeah, some of it is justified. So, for example, putting the new turbines in some of the existing dams, some of the equipment has been getting quite old and needs to be replaced. So that, you know, that part of it I think makes sense and is in the interest of the ratepayers. But some of the other decisions Hydro has made are somewhat problematic. I mean, we have the smart meter system, as it's called, or some people call it the dumb meters. This is a very odd decision for many of us. I mean, because the nature of our system is different from most electricity systems across North America. Most electricity systems in the U.S., for example, is coal-fired, is about half of the electricity generated. And those power plants cannot be ramped up and ramped down very quickly. They tend to generate a constant flow of energy on a 24-hour basis. So usage patterns, however, fluctuate dramatically during the day. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people are starting to cook dinner. There's a lot of additional demands on the system, and then at 4 in the morning, a lot less in terms of demand on the system. So you have this fluctuation in the pattern of usage on a daily basis, and you have in the U.S. particularly a constant amount of energy going into the system on an hourly basis. So they have an issue there in terms of how to moderate or how to adjust the demand on an hourly basis with the supply that's coming in. Our system is different because it's overwhelmingly hydro-based with storage in our reservoirs. And when you have storage in the reservoir, it means that you can add new amounts of electricity into the system very, very quickly. And the issue there is how much do you have on an annual basis in the reservoir, how much water is stored there. It's not a daily fluctuation issue. So it's hard for me to understand why we would want to have a billion-dollar expenditure on a system that arguably may have some value in a different kind of electricity system. But in a system like ours, where we're not constrained in the same way and where fluctuations in daily use are not so important, that we would want to have this kind of net metering approach. I just don't see the numbers that are going to result in equivalent savings. It's a huge capital expenditure. It's a huge risk for the ratepayers, and it's a lot of money.
I understand that industry that requires power in the province is getting a pretty good deal through this.
The basis of our pricing system has been essentially cost of energy plus distribution. And so the distribution cost to pulp mills and mines has been relatively low because you've got very high voltage lines going in, and you have very simple billing arrangements with the 80 or 90 particular major industrial customers. And so their rates historically have been based on what does it cost BC Hydro to actually generate the electricity, which is incredibly cheap, and then what is the cost of actually putting the power in the hands of these various industrial facilities. Currently, we're paying someplace around 3.9 cents a kilowatt hour, or getting 3.9 cents a kilowatt hour for industrial energy, and the ratepayers are paying about 7.5 with the stepped rates in that range, cents per kilowatt hour. So industrial customers are getting a very low-cost energy. The question is, really, if we don't have any cheap public power left, if we're buying more and more private power, then how should we deal with this? Should we continue to give the industrial customers this very low rate indefinitely, which effectively becomes a subsidy? Why? Because if we're having to buy energy, say, at $100 a megawatt hour and then flow it through and then sell it at $38 or $39 a megawatt hour, the other ratepayers in the system are swallowing the difference in the cost. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to have that sort of rate structure. Assuming that you should pay on the basis of the cost for every category of customer ignores the fact that actually the public are the ones who own the electricity. And if we were behaving like a private company that owned electricity, we would not be selling it to major customers at cost. We would be selling it at either market rates or a rate that enabled us to recover our additional or marginal extra costs for getting new energy. So that's a big issue that needs to be really looked at. To what extent do we want to continue the subsidy? The second thing is that we're going to build this transmission line up Highway 37, and the purpose of that is basically to service a number of potential new mines and possibly the oil and gas developments in that area. And the reality is we don't have a surplus of basic cheap hydro power from our own heritage assets. So are we going to give these new mines the industrial rate, $39 a megawatt hour, and therefore trigger a lot of new demand for more electricity, forcing BC Hydro to buy more and more private power at $100 to $120 a megawatt hour, with the rest of the ratepayers swallowing the cost?
What can the BC Utilities Commission do at this point in response to this application?
Well, I mean, the BCUC is constrained by the legislation and by orders from Cabinet that basically limit what it's able to do. I mean, it can't go outside its jurisdiction as defined by the orders that are the directives that that it receives from government and the legislation that set it up. So really, they don't have, in my view anyway, a huge amount of discretion over this. They had much of their discretion removed about a year ago by the provincial government in terms of a number of projects. And so it's not, in, at the end of the day, this the buck stops with the provincial government, who are the agency that actually determines how the Utilities Commission will deal with a whole variety of different issues. And they have constrained and restricted its decision-making powers over the last year. And it's up to the government to change that. That's not something the Utilities Commission itself can do.
Well, John, thank you very much for joining me this morning. It's an interesting issue for sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with John Calvert. He's Associate Professor of the Health Sciences Faculty at SFU, and he teaches public policy there. He's also the author of Liquid Gold, Energy Privatization in British Columbia.